Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift to the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on your way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward. "This loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him long, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me." Okay, I'm going to need you two to help me in just a minute, okay? "Bible tells me so." Good morning. Good morning. So we just heard a lot of texts that said a lot of things about the law and about walking in God's path, yeah, and following those ways. And our gift today is about outrageous grace. Do you know what the word outrageous means? A lot, yeah. Kind of crazy even, maybe. Not what you would expect. So how many of you got a Valentine this week, or made one? Oh, our poor nursery attendants, they didn't get Valentines. That's sad. Yeah, well, I got one that was really fun. I got a pencil with Elsa and Anna on it from Frozen, from other preschoolers. Yeah, so that was cool. Now, if God were going to give a Valentine to us, how big do you think it would be? Yeah, maybe humongous, maybe bigger than this. Definitely. Okay, maybe bigger than this. All right, well, let's see what's in our gift box here. It's kind of oozing out, actually. So I might need some help. Can you two, you each hold one end, stand up? Yeah, that's a pretty, what is that? A heart. It's a big heart. And can you see what's on it?
No.
Yeah, there's some names on it, right? So in worship last night, there were some people that put their names in it. Now, do you think God's heart is bigger than that even?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. That was about as big as I could get a piece of paper to be a heart, okay? So that's what we have, and we have names on it because part of following God's laws and commandments is also remembering that God has big grace for us. A huge heart, and we're all a part of that. So I'm going to have you two actually go put it on our table, and at Sacred Space, I want you to come up and put your name in that Valentine, okay? Yes?
I don't really think God would get us a card with candy on it or something.
Yeah.
I think our present would be his love.
Yes, you're right. God probably isn't going to give us candy. But our present is God's love. And how one of the ways we know about God's love is through what we learn in the Bible and through how we learn to follow God's ways in the Bible. So let's pray. God of outrageous love, thank you for your big heart
that has all our names
held inside it. Amen. All right, thank you for coming up. And you all are invited to come put your name in the heart as well. It's not just for the children. Grown-ups are in there too. So this past week, there was a basketball game that I happened to read about. There was CU played Stanford about a week ago. And during that game, there was a very hard collision between a CU player and a Stanford player. So much so that the Stanford player was knocked down and he laid really still for a matter of time and had a laceration to his head. And as happens, I've been to sporting events, the sportsing, as my husband would call it. You know, the crowd goes silent, right? And everybody waits and takes a breath, and all the players just stopped. And the one who knocked him down was horrified and shaken and began to cry. And as this player was able to rise to his feet and walk to the locker room, as crowds do, they clapped. There was a sigh of relief. But the players did not go back to the game. Instead, both teams went to center court and stood with their arms around each other and paused and prayed and recognized the moment for what it was. And in the articles and the news stories that I read this in, it was uplifted and given titles like Amazing Show of Sportsmanship. And I would argue that that goes beyond good sportsmanship. It wasn't a nod and a handshake. It was a full-on human reconciliation. The laying down of what was seemingly most important at that time, at the very forefront, a game to be played, to be played well and hard, and both teams wanting to win, and pausing to know the gift of what was real all around you. This is an image that Jesus is striving towards in these texts that we read today and really in the whole chapter 5 of Matthew. So to say a little bit more about that, I need to back up. And we need to remember that last week, our preacher from CSU, Zach, called us to consider what it means to be a part of an active community that shows its greatness, that it holds and it lives out the call of God in solid ways as a public witness to the Holy Spirit. He called us to go from good to great, or as the text says, to be that salt that has not lost its saltiness, to be that light that does not get hidden under a bush. And so I had a moment where, during that sermon actually, I had to check my knowledge, and I turned, my husband is a science teacher, and I turned to him and I said, now salt can't actually lose its saltiness, right? And he was about to answer me, but my son interrupted and said, no, Mom, that's the point. A very, very snotty way he said it, by the way. He said, Jesus is saying that because he means you can't be thrown out. You can't lose what God's given you. You can't be less than what you are and what God made you to be. So although a bit snarky, a quite profound theological statement. So the text we read from Matthew last week and the one we hear today cannot be separated one from another in our understanding of our practice of our faith. Here in this text, Jesus says, of course, do not murder. That is the law. But more than that, be outrageous in your living, in your walking God's ways, and in knowing that this outrageous grace has been given to you and given to you to live with others in the world. Embracing the fact that we are claimed as God's children and we are light for the world, who we are is salt for the earth. Who we are is to practice that which lives into the laws of God's pathway and God's grace. Grace that goes beyond the letter of the law and takes us deeper into the way in which we make the gift of the law a faithful practice of our lives. This past week, we invited college students to write our daily devotion. Some of you may have gotten them in email or seen them on Facebook. All of them have been a part of this community in some way. Either they were raised here or they were connected to us through another ministry in Fort Collins. And one of the writers was Matthew Corey, is a junior pre-med student at the University of Wyoming in Laramie. And Matthew really reflected on what it meant to be part of a new community and coming from a grounding of a community as he was learning and being educated in school. He started by saying that college isn't all about the classes, that it has also been about his experiences. And then I want to read to you a little bit more about what he said. To accent the science-based education I'm receiving, I find it crucial to keep an open mind and continue to practice my beliefs. And one of those places that I get to practice and share my love for the people and the community around me is at my job at the Laramie Vision Clinic. The population we serve is mixed. It's from the university, where income is higher with professors and PhDs, and it is from many in the community who are of lower income. Yet it's too clear that this means so little in terms of the kind of care they receive. We have two optometrists that practice there, and each of them do a good job to understand the diverse population they serve and to extend the same loving quality care to each of their patients. These traits are not a part of their education, but they are a part of their practice, which is then cast throughout the building. Walking into the building feels a little brighter because of the care of the doctors and technicians and opticians. At the end of the day, the team's only intention is to help patients see the love around them. My faith, originally being based at Our Savior's, has allowed me to find these places where care and God's love can be expressed. And the foundations built in Fort Collins have strengthened these expressions of love to be demonstrated to those I have come to know. Matthew has open eyes for seeing beyond the letter of the law. He sees beyond just taking care of vision and into being part of a system, part of a community, part of a practice that takes seriously the loving treatment of others, no matter what part of town they come from. This is important to him because of the foundation of faith he has and the way he wants to practice living in the world. And this gift given to all of us is one that can be implemented anywhere. It is a gift we all have. It can be in a medical office, a business office, a classroom, in a walk around the neighborhood, in a worship service, in going to the food bank, or in advocating just practices in government. This is the practice we are called to in laying our gifts not only before God, but turning and using them in how we interact and live in the community. The basketball players in that moment, they could not lose their saltiness of who they were. Not for the game, not for more points, not for a win. As the teams came together in unity at center court for a prayer, they were laying their gift, their focus, their purpose for the game down for a moment and turning towards one another in support and reconciliation. It didn't matter that the rules of the game did not require this of them. It didn't matter that they were on different teams. All that mattered in that moment was coming together and recognizing the deeper connection that they held. As they turned back and played the rest of the game, they played differently. It was reported that many of them cried during the rest of the game. They played according to the rules, and they played with tears and hearts transformed. Jesus promises we are salt and we are light, and that those things cannot be cast out. And Jesus calls us beyond the basic rules of the game, the basics of the law that have been gifted to us from God. That if you have something against another or they have something against you, lay down your gift, and as you return to God, return also to your brother or sister, neighbor or friend, stranger, classmate, or colleague. Go to center court and be unified. Go beyond the letter of law so that your tears and your hearts may be transformed. Amen.